Disclaimer: the content you are about to consume includes explicit language and/or explicit topics and is not suitable for anyone under the age of 18. This content is also not safe for work. We recommend headphones if you are in a public place. Enjoy!
Welcome back, fuckers.
Welcome back, fuckers.
Wow, it's been a while.
It's been a really long time, to the point where we were just looking over our episode notes and docs and realized that one of our last notes was a January reading wrap-up.
And it's the middle of March.
So it's been a while, you guys. Life gets in the way and that's okay. But, you know.
Honestly.
A quick disclaimer, we are not recording where we usually do. We usually record at Shay's house, and today we are recording at my house. Because I have issues right now that I'll get into later. So if you guys hear weird crunching or shuffling sounds, I also have two dogs, and they're sweet little angel babies, but they do like to chew on their bones or make a ruckus occasionally. So you may hear something.
They're sweet angel babies, though. They do nothing wrong, ever.
They are currently napping. I have one in my lap, and the other one is napping next to Shane.
Okay, so... Well, your name is first on the list.
You know, we do that on purpose. It's just like the alphabetical thing. Yeah. But yeah. So instead of bullshit of the week, you guys, we have bullshit recently because it's been a while since we've presented you an episode.
Oops.
I'm going to start with the thing that I'm dealing with right fucking now because it's so relevant. So I want you guys to understand that, like, I am a garlic girl. Okay. I love garlic. I love garlic in every sense of the word. Roasted garlic is out of this world delicious. It's just so good. However, if you didn't know, raw garlic can wreak havoc on your system if you're not careful.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize that could happen because I don't usually eat a lot of raw garlic. But Trader Joe's has this incredible garlic spread they sell, and it's really tasty. I really enjoy it. And we went to Trader Joe's recently, and I picked some up, and I had a bunch of it on Friday night. On pretty much an empty stomach, like pretty much what I ate for dinner with chips. And I woke up on Saturday morning and I regretted every life decision I've ever made in my entire life. And I have been going through it since then. My stomach is a mess. So the reason why we're recording at my house today is because I was like, cool, if I need to use the bathroom 18 times again, fine.
Because I only have one bath.
Yeah. But yeah, so you know what? Take it from me. Don't eat a bunch of raw garlic in one sitting. Like, cook it, you know? Be a normal human. Or, like, have some self-control. I don't know. Whichever one, you know?
There's no self-control here.
Yeah. The other bullshit that I have listed that I've been dealing with for a few months now, but it happened, like, while we weren't recording, is I recently found out, and when I say recently, I mean, like, early January, that the whole problem, like, most of the problem that I was facing with my allergies was actually from the allergy medication I was taking.
The irony.
Yeah, I know. So I was on Allegra for years, and I kept going back to my doctor being like, this isn't working. It's so much worse. I hate it. Only to find out, like, I finally got in to see an allergist for the first time in my life, like, in January, and they had me get off my allergy meds for 3 days, just the Allegra, to clear it out of my system so they could do a poke test, which, by the way, 0 out of 10, I do not fucking recommend. Those poke tests are awful. But... it turned out after 3 days of not taking my Allegra, which I thought would be horrible, it was actually a really great decision because it just turned out that my body basically was having almost like a histamine reaction and a like inflammation reaction to the medicine because when I got off of it, I'm fine now. Like a lot of the issues I was having are gone. I used to have chronic migraines, like 7 or more a month of sinus migraines that were horrible and just debilitating. And now that I haven't been taking that, I haven't had one more than once this month so far. And I've only had one this month. So that's pretty incredible. But yeah, it's bullshit that I was put on allergy medication for like 10 years and nobody ever bothered to actually test what I'm allergic to. They just band-aided it. So yeah, don't eat garlic in excess. And if you're going to get put on allergy medication, really make sure that you look into what you're allergic to ahead of time. Because this whole thing is because they tested me with all the common ones and a blood test. And I have literally like nothing that was worthy of taking out like allergy meds. Like, it was fine. So.
Yeah.
But that's my bullshit. I'm going to skip over that last one I have written in there because that was a while ago, and I think I'm good now on that one.
Okay. First one is, well, at least for me, is my bank. was really fucking stupid. They just decided to shut off my cards for no warning, saying that I wasn't making my payments when I was. And it was in my account. And, like, this is a bank that I've been with for, like, a few years. Like, I switched from my old bank to that one, like, 5 years ago. And, like, they were pretty good. But then recently, like, they did some shit, and now I changed banks because I'm balling on a budget. I can't afford to lose money. Like, that was a problem with my first bank, was they would, so I would buy something. I would still have money left in my account, just a few bucks, because, again, I was balling on a budget, broke as a joke. But I would still have money in my account after that was charged.
Yeah.
But they decided to charge me an overcharge fee, which then overdrafted my account, so they charged me a new
another one. Yeah. Well,
and I was like, what the fuck? And that was the second time that happened with that bank. So I was like,
that's ridiculous.
Mm-mm. And I called them. I was like, hey, so I bought this thing. I think, like, I bought food or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, and I still had, like, a few bucks in my account after that purchase. But then you guys charged me an overdraft fee, which overdrafted my account, and then you charged me another one. Like, I'm not going to do that. Not going to do that. So, and, like, they were like, oh, I'm so sorry. Like, oh, they fixed it. But then I was like, no, I'm shutting down my account. I only had, like, $3 in there anyways. It's not like I had to take out, like, a whole bunch of cash.
Right.
Like, I want to close this. And I opened up with my now, like, recently old bank. And then they just pulled some bullshit. And I was like, I can't get a check or use my own money. Which, it was ironic because I was making my payments. And they closed off access to my accounts saying, well, you haven't been making your payments. It's like, I have been. But even if I haven't been, how am I supposed to make my fucking payments if you don't let me access to my...
Yeah.
Literally, like, what the fuck?
Like, what do you all want?
What do you want from me? And I know that banks can, like, automatically take out, like, a certain amount from your account if you, like, if you, you know, sign the documents. So it's like, if you're so worried about me not making my payment, why don't you just do that? Then I can't fight with you.
Yeah, that's what they should have done.
Yeah.
Instead of doing whatever the fuck that was with canceling your card and accounts and shit.
That's but I still had access to my savings. So my check, because they closed my checking account, but they left my savings open. So they're like, well, why can't you just use your savings account? I'm like, because I'm not supposed to use my savings account. It's a savings account. If you guys didn't closed my checking account, this wouldn't have been a fucking problem.
That's dumb.
Like, it was weird, but whatever. Now I have a new bank and they're doing pretty good so far.
Good.
And then the second thing is I'm trying to finish my bachelor's degree, and I understand that I owe the college some money, but I can't even, like, go on a payment plan for them to give me my fucking transcript that I did the work for. I have to pay the entire sum, which is a few thousand dollars, because I was only taking one class. And so, like, the loan didn't cover it. And it's like, why did nobody tell? Why can't I just get my fucking transcript? How am I supposed to pay off my debt if I don't have a good job to pay off the debt? And I need to do that. Like, I can do that if I get my bachelor's degree. And I need my transcripts to start school. My bachelor's degree. And I can't go back to the old college because, like, you need to pay off your debt before you can attend classes. Like,
you want to start screaming a little bit.
I know. I'm like, I get it. But I'm like, I don't have, like, $3,000. Why was one fucking class $3,000?
Yeah.
It's fucking stupid. It's ridiculous.
College prices are way overpriced, y'all. Seriously. I have...
And this was online. It's not like I was using any of their, like,
resources. That
like, it was really fucking stupid. And I'm like...
Yeah. Trust me.
I have my unofficial transcripts, but they're like, we need your official transcript. I'm like, it will literally say the exact same thing as my unofficial transcript.
The only difference with an official versus an unofficial is that the official is sealed and you can't open it. It goes directly from one school to another. So basically the only thing that's different is that you can't get your hand on it. So there's no way for you to, quote, tamper with it, which, I mean, some people could, but... I used to do that for a living, you know that.
Just
so
fucking call the college and verify it.
Yeah.
Why do I have to pay off $3,000 just to get my fucking transcript?
Yeah. A transcript, to me, like, that shouldn't be a thing. I think it's kind of weird. Especially because they won't payment plan you. Like, they want you to pay it all at once, which is kind of ridiculous.
I'm just like, I have an unfinished bachelor's degree, and I'm trying to go back to finish my degree. You think I have the money to pay that all at once?
That we have our dumbest comment of the week that we usually do. It's been a while, you guys, since we've done this. We do have a couple here. These, for me, happened a while ago, so I'm not going to go super in-depth with them, but I will explain them a little bit because they're still super stupid. So my first one is kind of just the stupid, like, little thing, but I was going back and forth with somebody, and it was a cishet man who was being like a misogynist, as a lot of them are, unfortunately. And I got mad at him and was being petty, so I called him a little guy. I said little guy in addition to, like, calling him dumb, basically. And his response was, I may have a low IQ, but I'm not a little guy. And I think that's so fucking funny and just a true testament to a lot of these men who have, like, a fucking monkey playing the symbols in their brain for a brain, honestly. Because the thing that you get mad about isn't me calling you dumb. It's me calling you little guy. Like, the priorities are not prioritizing. I don't know what planet that person was on, but, like, the fact that he was like, how dare you call me a little guy, but you can call me stupid. And it's like, okay, dude, way to prioritize those things. And the second one, which this happened a while ago, but I have to touch on it because it blows my mind, is another cishet man, but he's talking about bodily autonomy and women's reproductive rights. And he tried to, like, repeatedly say that he's like, well, I don't have a bodily autonomy either because I can't sell my own kidney for profit.
Yeah, you can on the black market.
Yeah, but his whole thing was like, well, the government says I can't. And it's like, okay, it's not the same as women's reproductive right.
Yeah, like, also, like, what's fucking stopping you? Oh, the government, you're gonna let the government tell you what to do?
Yeah,
like, because these same people are like, yeah, in my say, you, it's like, fuck the government. I hate the government. Less government. And then it's like, you're going to let the government tell you what to do?
Yeah. Really? No, and it's just so funny because, like, he kept insisting that they were the same. And I'm like, it is not the same that you can't legally sell your kidney. But then the thing that pissed me off the most was he tried to use the example of, like, donating a kidney. And it's like, okay, well, generally when you donate an organ to somebody, you're doing it out of the goodness of your heart.
Well, the thing is, you choosing to sell your kidney or donate your kidney is you having bodily autonomy.
Exactly.
Because you're making that choice. Nobody's going to just, unless they're selling it from the black market. Like, if somebody is on, like, a donation list, like a liver transplant list or something, they're not going to automatically find you, match your blood type, and then just steal your liver.
Yeah.
Like... That's not how this works. You still have bodily autonomy. If there's somebody dying on the side of the road and your blood type matches theirs and they're bleeding out, they're not going to force you to give you your blood. You can say no.
Exactly. So that was the thing. I was like, dude, I remember telling him, like, you really need to consider what bodily autonomy actually means.
Yeah.
Because what you're talking about is bodily autonomy. And, like, my friend was telling him, like, so he basically said that, like, I'm allowed to donate it, but I'm not allowed to sell it. And, like, what I go through to donate a kidney, I should be compensated for. And it's like, well, considering that usually it's a voluntary thing to donate.
It's a donation.
Yeah. Like, first of all, it's a donation. Look up the definition of that word. But second of all, you are voluntarily donating your organ. You're not being forced. So no, they're not going to, nobody's going to compensate you for that. And to be honest, if you're expecting some kind of compensation for donating your organ to somebody who needs it, especially a family member, you really shouldn't be doing it because you're doing it for the wrong reason. Like, for that person, it's life or death. So, that face you just made was hilarious.
I'm on Pinterest right now. There's quite a few kinky things.
I
saw, like, something on a mannequin. I'm like, wow, that is a lot happening right now.
You know what just popped into my head when you made that face? Is that face you made in that one video of yours that I always laugh at? The... I wish I could describe to you a different way that Shay looks when she makes
You're going to tell me that confronting your stalker in the middle of the night's not stupid?
We should put your TikTok tagged in this so people can see that video, because that shit is so funny. I remember seeing it without you. Like, I was at home and I was scrolling through TikTok and it popped up and I laughed out loud for like 2 minutes. And John's like, "What are you laughing at?" I'm like, "Shane's fucking video. We're making this face. Like, it's so good." Oh my God. Yours is interesting. What is this? This comment that you have?
Okay. So it's a Threads thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it happened a little while ago. But it's fucking. So working in healthcare, right?
Right.
Learning stuff. I see a lot of dumb shit. And I obviously do not know everything.
Right.
But even if you don't know anything about healthcare, you can still use fucking common sense when it comes to this. So there is this person, and let me preface this again with a separate thing, that I am a believer in balance between medical care, between Eastern, quote, naturopathic, which is just the Americanized version, but Eastern medicine and Western medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Western medicine is very much pharmaceuticals. Eastern tends to be a little bit more like from the earth type thing.
Right, like more
believe in the balance. You got a sore throat, get some honey in that. Maybe some cinnamon helps, you know, stuff like that. Antioxidants, blueberries. Love it.
Yeah.
But if you got cancer, sorry, mineral oil is not going to help you, and neither is dandelion tea. Like, you're going to need some chemo, potentially surgery type of thing. So, like, it's a balance. So this is, relation does not equal causation. I am not harping on old naturopaths.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have seen a couple examples of naturopath practitioners who are like, "I'm sorry, I cannot help you with this. I recommend you seek pharmaceutical assistance from an actual provider."
Mm-hmm.
Naturopaths have also started labeling themselves as functional medicine.
Hmm.
Because naturopath is just not good enough. It has to be functional medicine. And I'm like, whatever.
For what?
I know, right?
Like, it has to what?
Non-functional medicine?
Yeah, like you're practicing.
They're practicing non-functional medicine. Like, whatever. So this guy, I'm not even going to like give him the clout.
Don't, because they don't
know his name. But he claims he's a doctor. He's a doctor of function. I looked up his credentials. He's one of those people who, like, he has a doctorate degree, so he can call himself a doctor, but he's not a doctor.
Ah, okay.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, "This is the sickest kids have ever been. 1 in 36 kids have autism. 1 in 200 kids have PANS or PANDAS, which is a inflammatory neural condition of the brain. 1 in 12 kids have food allergies. 1 in 5 kids have eczema. 1 in 5 kids have chronic illness. 1 in 40 kids have depression. 1 in 5 kids have a mental health disorder." Same thing. Like, you're just trying to get trigger words. 1 in 200 kids have OCD. 1 in 285 kids will be diagnosed with cancer before their 20th birthday. 500,000 kids are put on antidepressants each year in the U.S. 20% of kids in the U.S. are obese. Okay. This is why I only put one. Because I gotta break this down.
Yeah, and I'll go for it.
So, first off, autism. We all know I'm autistic. For one, okay, let me go back. Where does this person get their statistics?
I know you are.
So I would love to see their sources.
Right?
I would love to see their sources, because if it's the fucking internet, then they're not actually practicing that the research
mm-hmm.
Procedures and whatnot that they have supposedly learned in their supposed doctoral classes. Like, I don't even have a finished undergraduate degree, and I know how to do proper fucking research.
Yeah.
For one. But now going down the list. 1 in 36 kids have autism. Yeah, I would love to fucking see that statistic. Also, you have a lot of undiagnosed people.
Yeah.
Also, we have evidence that autism is very much genetic, just like ADHD, and develops in the fetal brain. Right. We don't know exactly what causes it, quote unquote, but we know that it's not the preservatives in your food,
right?
It's not the sun, it's not allergies, it's not vaccines, it's not medications, it's not like it's nothing external,
Right.
It develops in the fetal brain. Develops in the fetal brain, which means that fetal brain, immunity, fetal brain, your brain where you're developing in the fetus. You are a fetus, you're developing.
She is pointing at her microphone right now, speaking directly into it for you guys. I get this.
One in 200 kids have pans or pandas. Again, would love to see that statistic.
Yeah.
And I want to make sure that I am explaining this right.
You're really brave for using that word because I cannot say that word half the time correctly. So I always avoid saying that word because it's like...
Statistic?
Statistic, yeah. I have to actively, like, in my brain prepare myself because I will say statistic instead of statistic a lot.
So, PANDAS stands for Pediatric Acute Onset Neuropsychiatric Disorders Associated with Streptococcus. So the same bacteria that causes strep.
Okay.
So it's a neural infection in the brain. So when it's clear that a child's symptoms are linked to a strep infection, it's called PANDAS. Okay. I get it.
Right.
So then why are we not treating, like, why are we saying, this is the sickest kids have ever been, instead of just fucking treating people for strep?
Right. Also, do we think that strep is new? It's not.
It's not new.
Like, thank
you very much. And it sucks because it can, oh my God, is PANDAS a form of autism? No. No, it is not. While PANDAS occurs mostly in children who do not also have autism, in rare cases, a child may have both conditions. Wow, it's almost as if it has nothing to do with each other. Also, 1 in 12 kids have food allergies. So that automatically makes them sick?
Yeah.
People who are able to digest dairy have a genetic mutation.
Yeah.
Because us humans are not supposed to be able to digest dairy.
Yep.
The fact that I can is a technical genetic mutation. I am a walking GMO.
And you guys, just so you know, we're not saying this as to be like, people shouldn't be consuming dairy, blah, blah, blah. We're not one of those. It's a fact. It is a scientific fact.
Yeah.
We're not saying don't drink dairy milk. We're saying that, like, if you can, it's a genetic mutation. And I am the opposite. I can't.
Yeah.
So I am not that genetic mutation. I will say that it is pretty well.
You're all organic.
Oh my God, I am.
We picking that GMO here.
Non-GMO human. I will say that I am part Asian, and I've heard from a lot of people say that a lot of Asian people cannot, like, handle dairy. My mom can't. My brother's not very good with it either. So, but I mean, like, yeah, that when I found out that the mutation is being able to, holy crap! So I am the normal one for once.
Also, one in 12 kids have food allergies. Okay. There is a way where you can safely,
yeah,
when you have kids, you slowly introduce them to foods. For one, to see if they are allergic, but to two, it helps decrease the amount of allergies.
Right.
Also, we have ways to treat it. I'm not saying that people should be allergic to things.
Right.
But, like,
it's not abnormal.
No, it's not. One in five kids have eczema. Yeah, it's an inflammatory response. Okay?
Yeah.
Like, it goes on and on. Like, 1 in 40 kids have depression and mental health disorder, which is the same fucking thing.
Yeah.
And OCD, same fucking thing. 1 in 285 kids will be diagnosed with cancer before their 20th birthday. Again, would love to see the statistic. Also, so then what are you doing for cancer research?
Right.
What are you doing for it instead of just fucking posting on threads?
Yeah.
500,000 kids are put on antidepressants each year in the U.S. Really? I doubt it.
I'm an adult who's adults who don't get on them, who can't get on them.
Like, I know it's a very, very, very small sample because, you know, as opposed to the rest of the world or just really the rest of the country, I am only in one area and I don't even see all of the kids in one area.
Yeah.
But I do not have that many kids, like patients, like pediatric patients who are on antidepressants. The only time they're on it is when they really fucking need it and they're on suicidal ideation.
Yep.
They try to not put them on there because it can do that opposite effect where it increases suicidal ideation.
Yeah, and that's a warning for a lot of depression medication that you see on advertised.
Yeah, so that's why a lot of kids don't actually get put on it unless it's absolutely necessary. Because it's you have shown that nothing else is going to help.
Yeah.
that you actually might need this medication.
It's kind of a last resort.
Like, it's literally not just like a, oh, you feel sad, here's the medication.
Yeah.
That's not how this shit goes. And 20% of the kids in the U.S. are obese. Whether that statistic is right or not, it's like, okay, so then what are you going to do about it?
Right.
Like, should you teach your kids to be healthy? Yes. I feel like people should prioritize health. But also, some people can't afford...
I was going to say, cost of living doesn't allow that sometimes.
Some people can't afford to pay for $100 of groceries that are going to get spoiled in 2 days.
Right.
Sometimes people only have $20 and they're like, I want to get you guys like a full-ass meal.
Right.
But we're going to take you to McDonald's. It's just... You have to try and find that balance, and sometimes it's just not doable. Like, honestly, at this point, like, even unhealthy food is the same as healthy food.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, it's food. Do you have access to all that resource, like, to the resources and whatnot? So it's like, also, what are you defining as obese?
Right. I think my biggest thing that annoys me when people say stuff like that is they're acting like all of these things are brand new. Like, I had to deal with that with my own family members being like, oh, there's so many more kids with all these things, and it's still, no, it's not so many more kids with it. It's just that now there's more research and more attention paid to it and more facts known. So you're getting more diagnosis because people can actually get it now. It's not that there's more people with it magically. It's just more people are being diagnosed. And, like, I had to explain that to my family members. It's like, just because there's more people who are being diagnosed with it does not mean that automatically there's a bunch of random new people who have.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that it's suddenly just happening. It's right. Literally like they've had it their entire life and they're just now figuring out what it is.
Well, and like I used this kind of example for a lot of my family members who are older. I said when it stopped being illegal for people to be in a same-sex relationship, when that started being more accepted, you saw an influx of people coming out because they were safe to do so. It's not that there was suddenly a bunch of gay people or suddenly a bunch of our community, LGBTQIA+, it was that now people were safe enough to come out and be who they were. And I think a lot of that, too, like, you see a lot of people saying that with trans people now. Oh, something with a huge influx of trans people. No, it's just become a little bit safer and more capable for people to come out and have the resources they need. It's not like it's new. It's just more understood and talked about now. And I think a lot of people need to keep that in mind. This is not new.
No.
At all.
It's annoying. I'm just like, in the fucking comment that he put afterwards, chronic conditions would have been more of an appropriate term here than sickness. I'm sorry if this came off offensive to those with autism or their loved ones. It's important to keep in mind that autism is a spectrum. It's like, yeah, because autism isn't a fucking sickness.
Yeah, it's not.
Not a disease.
No.
Is it a disorder? Yes, it is technically classified as a disorder because it is not the norm.
Right.
I'm also tired, like, I'm tired of the toxic negativity and the toxic positivity,
mm-hmm.
because there are people who are starting to say that, like, oh, well, the only reason why autism is classified as a disorder is because society is not made for us. It's like, you think that if society was made, like, if we were literally in just an autistic society, mm-hmm. that people would still not have meltdowns?
Yeah, it wouldn't.
No, because people are human.
Yeah.
So, yes, I do have a disability. Mm-hmm. It's not just society that's disabling me.
Yeah.
Disabling me. It's literally the ADHD and autism. It's literally how my fucking brain works. I could be having the perfect fucking day, still be fucking overstimulated and have a meltdown.
Yeah.
Like, I could literally be going to work every single day, parking in the same spot. And what if another autistic person is just saying that is their spot?
Mm-hmm.
I could still have a fucking meltdown. But that's what would happen in a perfect autistic society.
Right. It's the same thing for the depression for me, which is why I can understand that. Because it's like, yeah, I can be having the best time. I can be happy. I can be doing things that I would always enjoy. And deep down, it's still there, even if I can mask it. And I think that's something, too. People will see those of us who are good at masking it, whether it's any of, like, you know, mental health issues, neurodivergencies, and think, oh, they're fine. It's just because we're good at masking. I'm just trying to pick between the four Am I the Assholes that I have here. As you guys probably can tell by the title, we are doing an Am I the Asshole thing today because we love when other podcasts do these. I love seeing them. I love
telling people when they're wrong.
Yeah. But I'm just trying to figure out. I have four of these here, but I will only do one. Oh, God. I think I'm going to do that second one I told you, the living with the choices. I think that's what I'm going to go for. But I'm going to let you do yours first, actually.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Let me see. Okay. So, am I the asshole for not being overexcited for a coworker coming out? I am married straight, am 34, so male 34.
Mm-hmm.
Have worked with Toby, fake name, male 30, for about 2 years. We don't hang outside of work, but interact almost every day and have always gotten along. One day, Toby seemed off, so I asked, hey, you okay? You seem off. After a pause, he looked at me seriously and said, I'm gay, and then stared at me without saying anything else. I didn't suspect he was gay, but I knew he didn't ever talk about significant other. I responded, cool. Is that a recent development? He said, yeah, I've only told my family. I responded, that's cool, man. Do you still go by he, him, Toby? Yes. Me? Okay. Well, thanks for feeling comfortable enough to tell me. And we went back to work. A few days go by, and he had told a few other people. One of those people pulled me aside and told me I hurt Toby's feelings when he told me first. Toby thought I was dismissive in how I responded, and it soured his coming out experience. I've interacted with Toby a few times since then, and it didn't feel any different than before. I responded the way I did because I didn't want to make a big deal out of it. He's being who he is, and I thought making a big scene out of it would cheapen that. Plus, I have no role in his life outside of work. I don't want to do anything to make work weird for him or me, and I'm just not sure if I should do or say something or just leave it alone. I don't think you're the asshole.
No,
I think that's how it should be.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know we have pride and whatnot, like, during June.
Right, yeah.
But that's only, like, needed for some people because of how oppressed it is to be queer.
Yeah.
This is how, in a perfect world, this is how it would be. You wouldn't even need to come out. You'd be like, oh, yeah, like, my boyfriend, my partner, blah, 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 blah. Like,
yeah.
Like, it's one of those things where it's like, okay, cool. Like, the reason why it's like, oh, we need a celebration is because it's like, you feel that relief to not be judged, and you should not have to worry about being judged.
Yeah.
It should just be normal. Nobody should have to come out. They should just be able to be like, oh, yeah, like, this is my partner, and it's same sex, or they're queer, or something like that. And it's like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Do I still address you this way? Yeah. Okay, cool.
Okay. I'm going to say something a little controversial here. I think the person who is the asshole in this situation is the
Toby.
That came out.
Yeah, because he's like,
you soured about coming out.
Exactly.
Experience. And do you know, that is so, okay, I hate to use this word, but I'm going to use it. I hate to use it about somebody in our own community. How privileged do you have to be that somebody accepted you and treated you normally when you come out to them, and you think that the appropriate thing for them to do is to throw a giant, oh my God, I'm so happy for you. I understand people want that, but you have to understand when you come out, especially because it's a community for all of us, there are tons of us, myself included, who struggled coming out because we were so terrified we'd lose people we care about.
Mm-hmm.
To focus on the fact that somebody who you trusted enough to came out to
make it a big fucking deal,
and that's why you're upset. Listen, Toby, okay, I didn't come out to my parents until I was into my 20s. I have not been out to my parents for more than 3 years. I waited so long to come out to extremely loving and accepting parents because I was so scared I would lose them for some reason, even though I knew I wouldn't. So to have somebody like this, like, you ruined it because you didn't go over the top, makes me want to rip my fucking hair out, bro.
That's interesting that I've been out longer than you have.
Yeah.
Like, I've been lucky to the point to where I never worried about being judged by my parents because we didn't talk about it neither here nor there.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like, and I didn't grow up in a religious family or anything like that. So like when I came out to my mom, bless her heart at the time, I was like 13. And by this time I've told you the story. By this time I've already made out with like two chicks.
Right.
And I told her, I was like, yeah, I'm bisexual. And she's like, well, you wouldn't want to kiss girls.
It's like, no, but I have.
And it's like, oh. And I just kind of walked away and I just chuckled because in my head I'm like, mom, you have no idea.
Yeah.
But like she was just like, okay, like, aside from that, she's like, okay. Like, I literally remember we were in the laundry room and I told her.
Yeah.
And she was doing laundry and she's like,
okay.
Okay. Like, I've never felt the need to come out.
Right.
Because I never worried. I never had to worry about being judged. Like,
mm-hmm.
my dad's side of the family, it's a little different in the way that I really couldn't give two shits about their opinion.
Right.
Because some people are like, oh, but family matters, blah, 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 blah. You know, their blood. I don't give a shit. Some of them are terrible people. I don't care about their opinions. They don't matter that much to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things where I've been lucky enough to the point to where I didn't have to worry about getting kicked out of my house, so I didn't have to care about other people's opinions.
Right, yeah.
I was like, mm-hmm. Well, I'm gonna fucking make out with girls if I want to anyways. I don't give a shit what you say.
Yeah.
That's a little different now because I'm in a monogamous relationship.
Right.
But it's like, I don't care if people know that I'm queer. I really don't.
Yeah.
Like, I would rather not them not think that I'm straight, especially if they're another queer person. Because it's like, hey, I see you.
Yeah.
I see you. But it's like, I don't give two shits. I couldn't care if my, you know, family on my dad's side, who are a bunch of wannabe hicks, like, judge me or not. Because I don't give two shits about their opinion.
Yeah.
They don't matter that much.
Absolutely. I will say, like, my mom and dad, I have no reason to be that afraid. I knew they'd be fine. They've never made me feel like I couldn't come to them about anything.
But you were afraid that it would change.
Yeah, no, yeah, that's the fear. I was worried, especially for my dad. My mom, I knew would be fine. I was worried my dad would look at me differently. He didn't. I've told the story a million times. It's my favorite thing. My favorite story to tell is the fact that when I came out to my dad, I came out to him in person. I came out to my mom on the phone a while before I came out to my dad. But I came out to my dad in person, and the first thing of his answer, this is so my dad, was, oh, no, I totally get it. I like chicks, too. And I thought that was so funny because it's such a dad thing to say, you know?
Oh.
But getting back to Toby, listen, Toby. Like, I understand wanting to be celebrated for something like that because it is a big deal to come out to people and for them to be, you know, accepting of you. But the outcome that could have happened from you coming out to a coworker could have been
so much
worse.
And the fact that you felt comfortable being able to do that and not being afraid to lose your job, and now you're complaining about not being celebrated. It's like, if you want to be celebrated, you should be celebrated with people who are like-minded with you.
Yeah. No,
instead of just being like, oh my God, congratulations, you're gay. It's like, it's just what I've been. I've figured it out. Like,
the response that
I shouldn't be congratulated to be queer.
The response that the poster had of how they responded to Toby was exactly what I would hope that we get to a point for everybody where it's like, okay, yeah, cool. Like, yeah,
do you realize this?
Yep,
great.
I would love to not to be in a world where we don't have to come out to each other. I would love that too. And like you said, and the fact that he went from, oh, like, everything's fine, to I'm upset you ruined my coming out experience. You know what can ruin a coming out experience, Toby? When somebody gets violent or angry or decide they don't want you in their life anymore because you're part of the community.
Mm-hmm.
I really want that person to consider themselves very lucky that everybody around them celebrated them in a way, whether it's excitement or whether it's the way that your coworker, who's the poster of this, did. I think that the way that that guy responded was so healthy and so genuine because, like he said, you don't need to be, like, there's no need to make a big deal out of it. He's being who he is. And that's so valid. I really don't think the poster is an asshole. Not at all.
There's another one that I want to do.
Okay. Go for it.
And I feel like it, like, we definitely would be on the same page for this.
Mm-hmm.
So, am I the asshole for refusing to attend my friend's party after she uninvited my boyfriend?
Oh.
First off, I automatically think no. But a few weeks ago, my close friend invited me and my boyfriend to her birthday party. We were both excited to attend as we've known her for years and get along with her other friends. However, yesterday she messaged me saying that she had to uninvite my partner because one of her friends doesn't like him.
What?
I was upset and confused as there was no previous indication that anyone had any issue with my partner. I asked for more details, but my friend became defensive and insisted that it was her party and she could invite whomever she wanted. I agree that it's her party, but I feel hurt and disrespected that she would uninvite my boyfriend without a valid reason. As a result, I decided not to attend the party. Now my friend is angry with me and accusing me of being a bad friend for choosing my partner over her. Am I the asshole?
No,
we're not. You're
fine.
Okay, so,
oh.
And this is something that you and I have also talked about. Your husband comes before me. My partner comes before you.
Exactly.
But it, that is all that
should be.
That's the way it should be, because that your husband is your family.
Yeah.
That is your person. You are a team. It is not one without the other.
Oh, we're a package deal.
Exactly. And it's the same with my partner and I.
Yeah.
You like, if somebody doesn't like my partner, and they, especially if they don't have a valid reason, like mm-hmm. for some reason, it's not a Ted Bundy deal or living a second life type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if somebody doesn't like my partner and they uninvite them from the party, I'm not going either.
Exactly.
Like, if he's not able to go, I'm not going to go. That is my partner.
Yeah.
We are a team.
Right.
If you don't, and it's the same thing with him, where, like, if he was invited to his sister's wedding mm-hmm. and I wasn't invited, even though I would kind of push for him to go because it's his sister's wedding.
Yeah.
He'd probably be like, I don't want to go if you're not invited.
Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, so here's the thing, you guys. I can personally attest to going through something like this, because my ex-best friend hated my husband. She was very insecure and very childish and very possessive of me.
Oh, your husband. Who can hate your husband? Like, if anybody hates your husband, they ain't got a good reason for it.
Theories behind it.
I fucking hate it.
I cut off a friend of over 6 years who I was attached at the hip with from sixth grade to senior year. Because when I got into a relationship with him and things got serious, she didn't know how to act. And that's my future. You don't disrespect my future.
Exactly.
You don't disrespect somebody that I came to you telling you how important they are to me. And you decided, well, I don't like them. She had no reason to dislike him.
Yeah.
No valid reason. And I walked away from a friendship that long. That girl and I were inseparable. Like, you want to talk about you and I being inseparable? I was at her house every weekend. Every weekend. I walked into her house without knocking. I knew the code to get into her garage. Mm-hmm. Like, my mom used to take care of us when her parents would leave her when they were out going on trips for work. Like, we were very much always with each other all the time. It was Ange and blank. I'm not going to say her name. Or blank and Ange. It was always us.
Mm-hmm.
And I cut her off because at the end of the day, my partner is my priority.
Yeah.
And Shay, for some context, you guys, Shay and I feel very strongly about my friendship with Shay. Her and I are very much attached to each other.
Exactly.
It is very much a you and I against the world when it comes to friendship.
It's like literally like, are you guys okay? You haven't hung out last, like, you didn't hang out last
our
weekend.
Partners, yeah, that know each other.
Yeah,
to us. Like,
you hang out with them next weekend? You gonna hang out with them today?
Like, yeah. No. Well, like, why haven't you hung out with them?
And yeah. It's like, been a while.
Like, this is very much, like, the way I describe us on this is platonic soulmates.
Mm-hmm.
We're, like, you and I connected so heavily, and we are always talking around each other. Like, it never gets old. We never get tired of each other. But even then, you guys, even having that super strong connection, our partners come first. And I expect you to put your partner above me. I expect my partner.
And it's vice versa.
It's
I can't come over today. He's having a rough day.
Yeah.
Good. Stay home.
Or if, like, he asked me, hey, can we spend some time together? I always say yes.
Yeah. Okay. But another thing that I can't get over is she had to uninvite my partner because one of her friends doesn't like him. So not only is this person disrespecting her so-called friend, the original poster, by uninviting her partner, she's also prioritizing that other friendship and, like, that comfort over this purse, over the original poster and their friendship. And then they turn around and get pissed off because the original poster didn't go to that party.
Yeah. You know what? OP is not an asshole, but her friend sure is.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's not a friend. You don't get mad at me for putting my partner first when you wouldn't give me a reason why they wouldn't be invited, and then get mad at me when I don't show up.
Yeah.
Especially, I don't know what that situation is, but especially if that person and her boyfriend have been together for a while, especially, like, it's not new, but even then, so there's no excuse either. But, like, if that person's been with that partner for a while, you should understand as a friend that they're a package deal.
Yeah.
That is how that works.
Yep.
And to go, oh, it's not even the person who's throwing the party decision to do it. It's based on somebody else's want and need.
Mm-hmm.
Her going, it's my party, I can invite whoever I want. Then why didn't you apply that same logic to this other friend of yours
who
doesn't like this girl's boyfriend?
Well, and whenever, like, because the last few years I've, like, around, like, my birthday and whatnot, like, I've invited people out, like, that didn't know each other.
Right.
And it's one of those things where it's, like, I'm not going to, like, invite certain people that I feel like would not vibe well with the other people.
Right.
Honestly, I kind of all of my friends kind of think the same way anyways.
Yeah.
So I don't have that drastic friend. Things, but like, it's still one of those things where it's like, I'm inviting you to my party. And if you find out that there is somebody who you just don't like for no rational reason, you're free to leave.
Yeah.
You don't have to come. Like, I'm not going to be like, oh, you're uncomfortable because this one person is the ex of your current boyfriend from like 12 years.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I guess I want to. No. If you can't get over yourself, like, I'm going to invite you guys. If you guys can't get over yourselves, then you guys can fucking leave. I'm not going to deal with that shit, but I'm going to put my comfort when it comes to my birthday party over everybody else.
Oh, as you should. And that's what I was going to say. Like, if the people you're inviting are truly your friends and they care about you, especially for like a big party, like a birthday, it should be about you. Mm-hmm. If I showed up to a party for you and for some reason I didn't like somebody you'd invited, I would suck it up and be a good person because it's your fucking birthday and it's not about me.
Well, and it's one of those things where it's like, okay, so if this person really, 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 really makes you uncomfortable,
why? I would want an explanation.
You don't have to tell me details.
No, if
you
tell me why.
Expect me to take some kind of action, I need you to tell me.
Yeah.
If they're like an ex-abuser of yours and I have no idea, then
no, we want to know that.
I don't want to know that, and I don't want them fucking there.
Right.
But you don't get to be like, oh, well, this other friend doesn't like this person, so what are you going to do about it?
I don't know about you.
Okay.
To me, it sounds like OP's friend throwing the party is making excuses for why she doesn't want the boyfriend there.
Yeah.
I don't even think it is another friend. I think it's just her not wanting the boyfriend there.
The asking for a friend type of thing.
Yeah.
And no. You're actually the friend. But it's just one of those things where it's like, you don't get to ask somebody to not, to like, okay. And it's not even like, hey, I want you to come, but not him to come. Because like, if say I was planning a bachelorette party,
obviously I'm not bringing my husband.
Honestly, I want to really invite your husband, but honestly, like, I would just kind of like, a bachelorette party would just be all of us like fucking hanging out playing Cards Against Humanity.
Yeah, like, it's not,
honestly,
yeah, but
well, it would just be us two like going out, and like, if there was like a local strip club, maybe. But like,
you and I get along with each other's partners pretty well. Like, I get along with yours, you get along with mine.
Yeah.
And in the beginning I was a little iffy on yours because of the things that you and I had talked about, but he is so great now. And I think one thing is he had to come out of his shell.
He had to come out of his shell, and he had a lot
of stuff. Yeah.
He had a lot to deal with, and he was never a bad person.
No, never.
Didn't know how to communicate.
Well, that's why I was iffy. It wasn't about me liking him, or it wasn't about me thinking he was good for you. It was about me being iffy about the fact that I was hoping he'd adjust to me being around.
Mm-hmm.
That was my iffy thing. I didn't want to make you uncomfortable by having him never around because he was uncomfortable being around me.
Yeah.
That was my concern. To clear this up, you guys, it was never about not liking Shay's partner. I like Shay's partner. I always have. It's just he's a pretty shy person to begin with, and he's very quiet. So in order to get around him and get him out of his shell, you really have to put in effort, which we've tried to do.
Which is also... You're so cute.
Oh,
hi, honey. Which is like one of the things that I really like about your husband. Mm-hmm. He just has that natural energy.
Oh, he does. Yeah.
And he just brings it out. Like, his job, as shitty as like his coworkers are, like, he is the right person for his current job.
Yeah, I agree.
Because of his personality. He just makes you feel so at ease.
Yeah.
And he's just like, he forces you to talk and come out of your shell.
Done that to your partner.
Yeah. I've done that on him so many times. And I'm like, see?
He's like,
I've had a fun night. And I was like, I can tell you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, Shay and I are inseparable now. And he's gotten really good because he'll be like, hey, when are you hanging out with them next?
Yeah.
Doing something with them. Like, that's really cool. But like, in the beginning, yeah, he was iffy because I'm new. And that's understandable.
Well, and I had just like broken up with a friend that I had been friends with
for a decade. I didn't know that.
Yeah. It was me. It was
okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. I didn't realize that was that close.
Yeah. It was like, if it was at most maybe a couple months.
Oh, damn. I didn't know that.
It was when I had finally actually cut ties because we had broken up before. And then I was like, I'm going to unblock her. We'll see if things can go because I'm apparently a softie.
Mm-hmm.
And then the same cycle happened again. And I was like, you know what? No, I'm fucking done with this shit.
Yeah.
And then it was like, I need a friend, I think.
I think.
And downloaded Bumble Friends, and then here we are.
Friends, we're going to Animal Fab, guys. The one worth the darkest wave.
I'll sometimes re-download Bumble and go on to Bumble Friends, and I'll see our messages. I'm like, oh. Honestly, if you didn't, like, shy away from our conversations, like, when we originally started talking, I can't imagine she would shy away from our current ones, because they're basically the same.
I read her Bumble BFF bio, and it was like, don't be boring, just say hi, show me your, like, best animal, and we're like...
It was like, tell me a random fact or something.
Like, I love animals, so I was like, I'm gonna pick animal facts, and I just went for it, and she went for it, too, and it was great. We matched energies, like, immediately, which I think was great.
I was nervous about when we got lunch, because I was like, what if she doesn't like me?
Oh, I was worried.
What if we don't get along very well? No, and then now we hang out like almost every single weekend.
The conversation was so easy. And you guys, the very first time that Shay and I met in person, she gave me a gift, which was so cute. I still have them.
Oh my God, I did?
Posters.
Oh my God, yeah!
Shay gave me a gift the very first time I met her, which was all like, oh my God, I didn't get you anything. I'm so sorry. That's the kind of person I am. But we still have them and we love them.
It's so funny because my partner was like, do they need any coasters? I was like,
always.
I don't know. Yep. I don't know them that well, but
sure.
Here,
yeah,
have some coasters.
No, and my partner made too many. These coasters that her partner made are beautiful. They're pieces of wood like fused together, and they're really pretty. And my dog actually ate one at one point, which made me really sad. But we have three of them out of the four, and the one that ate it's actually sitting right next to Shay, like getting cuddles from her right now.
Oh, he's so sweet.
He's also sleeping like a fucking weirdo. Look at him. Comfortable in the weirdest positions, but no, I mean, honestly, to me, people, everybody, and we're gonna make this message so clear, if you have a partner, especially one that you're serious about, unless that partner is harming you, like being abusive, that partner should always be your priority.
Mm-hmm.
And not in a toxic way, but in a realistic way.
Yeah, like literally, hey, me and my partner haven't had a date night, and they asked me to go out on a date, and I know we planned on hanging out, but you good if we just reschedule? Yeah. Like,
guys, that's a realistic thing because it's happened before.
Yeah.
Never get mad at each other for it.
No, it's like, no, because not only that, and like, I guess turning it into my own selfish thing, like if you ended up skipping out on a date with him and just coming out to hang out with me, I would feel guilty.
Right.
I'd be like, why are you hanging out with me and not your husband?
Right. Yeah. My husband,
like he wanted to go out on a date with you. Like I love dates. So, like, go out on a date. Like, we can always hang out.
Yeah. Well, we've also compromised and done a double date multiple times. Like, that's always fun, too. Because the boys get along really well.
Oh my God, I don't know if I can get into the whole degradation thing. Like, I don't know if I can be called a slut. Like, I'm in a long-term relationship. It's just factually inaccurate.
And then me just looking at you and being like, that is the most authentic thing I've ever said.
The fact that both you and, I'm recording now, but the fact that both you and him,
I know
that, like, in individual time, you guys weren't even together. I said it to you guys in two separate times.
Yeah,
you both just said the same thing. Like, that is one of the most autistic things you've ever said.
It's like, ah, there's the tism.
Like, yeah, here it is.
But this is my favorite thing I think you ever said. Oh, did I tell you? Okay, I want you to leave this in because Brie asked us to talk about waxing. I want to briefly touch on this one. So I was getting waxed yesterday, and she goes to put the wax on me, and she breaks the stick the way she pushes. So it, like, snaps the stick in half.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, ooh, strong coochie. And I said, ah, yes, she is bald, but she is mighty. And she was laughing so hard. And then I told her, I was like, if you post a video, because if you guys don't know this, our esthetician does before and after videos where she covers the essential bits, but she shows, like, before and after for a Brazilian. I told her, I was like, if you make a video and post it, I really need you to put that as the caption on Instagram.
I don't know. I love, like, the one where it's like, oh, well, you know, you realize that maybe you're not the problem. It's like, well, I'm not chill, so.
Yeah, I'm not chill, yeah. I love that video that she posted of our conversation.
Yeah.
Wait for the next one, we both go together.
Oh, God. My cookie. He's gonna hit me.
Okay, you sat through a pretty long thigh rocker of a tattoo with no numbing cream and you didn't even flinch, dude. I'm sure you'll be fine.
I know, but the last time she like waxed my pits because it had been a couple of months and I actually like, got waxed, I was like, ooh.
You ever take painkillers before your appointment?
No.
You should. It'll help. Do it before your Brazilian appointment. So here's the thing that I'm going to suggest to you to do, because I've been doing this a long time. Okay, number one, exfoliate like the day before, like the night before with a good exfoliant. Don't use like sugar scrub. Use like an actual like...
The glove,
the glove that you bought from her. Exactly. I use my African exfoliant now. But yeah, the glove will be great. Lightly exfoliate. Make sure you take painkillers about 45 minutes to an hour beforehand so they're fully kicked in. And however many you need to take to actually get an effect, go ahead and do that. I usually do two or three ibuprofen and then two extra strength Tylenol altogether. If you want to trim the hair, because if it's super long and you want to trim it like a week beforehand, because if you accidentally trim it too short, it'll give it time to grow back out.
Mm-hmm.
But she said, like, I've talked to her and she said, you don't really need to. I think it helps because it's not as long of hair, so it yanks less.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, the last thing I will say is, like, wear something, like, underwear-wise, super comfortable. Don't wear lace and don't wear a thong. Wear super comfortable underwear and be prepared.
One of my granny panties.
Yeah, wear something flowy or loose on bottom and be prepared that you may not want to put your underwear on after you're done. That you may leave without it on. The first one always is the hardest, I will say that, but with Brie, you're getting the best of both worlds because she is really good. She's super gentle, and the first two are going to be the hardest. After that, it gets really easy, and she'll probably tell you this, but I'll tell you it too. If you bleed while she's doing it, like she pulls hair and you're bleeding from it, it's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you go home and you're like, oh my god, there's a bunch of blood on my underwear, it's a good thing because it means that the hair is not coming back. So I have my, I'm not sure if I'm going to do one or two, but I know I'm going to do this one. So this one is titled, Am I the Asshole for Telling My Girlfriend She's Going to Have to Live with Her Choices? And you guys, this one actually people voted on. So we have a result from the crowd or afterwards. All right. So first time poster, but I'm writing in because I'm not sure if I should feel guilty about what I said during a conversation with my girlfriend. I love her to death and she's a great person and a fantastic mother, but she had children with somebody who was psychotic. Lately, she's been dealing with a lot of stress from her ex-husband as far as custody agreements go, and to keep it in short, he's making her life difficult by not taking the children on days that he has agreed to and verbally berating her when she tries to get him to stick to his agreed schedule. She was complaining a lot, rightfully so, about the problems she's been having with him and asked me, how is it fair that I have to deal with this? Am I just supposed to deal with this for the rest of my life? And I responded by saying, you know, it's definitely not fair, but unfortunately, at one point, you had decided to have children with him, and he's going to be involved in their lives in any capacity, you're going to have to deal with this to some degree until the children are grown. She got mad and hung up on me. I wonder if I was too harsh about the reality of the situation. He said, edit one, I don't think I was strictly the asshole here, but I do agree with some of you as it is being an insensitive thing to do at the time. I reached out and apologized for being so blunt when I should have been giving her emotional support, and we are fine now. Thanks to everyone who also put in input. Also, some of you are wild. What I said was definitely not abusive. I guess people were calling this person abusive. Edit 2. We ended up talking a while after she vented about possible solutions, and she ended up making a call to her lawyer about doing something as far as child support goes because he seems to habitually do this. I appreciate all of you who commented because I think that without that suggestion, action wouldn't have been taken. So, the people voted on this one, and they voted he is an asshole for this. Now, while he is technically correct, she made choices that led her to this. I don't think it is fair that in the moment that your girlfriend, I believe he said it's girlfriend, yeah, your girlfriend is venting to you about her ex-husband being verbally abusive to her, your answer when she's basically at the end of her wit asking, am I going to have to just keep dealing with this? Your answer is yes, because of the choices you made.
Yeah.
As a partner, you should not be telling your partner that when they are struggling. I get that it's the truth.
Mm.
I do. But there's a time and place, and that's not it. Also, you should be probably a little irritated that your partner is being berated by her ex. Like, I don't know, but maybe this is me being toxic. I don't know if it is toxic or not, but I'm always on my partner's side. I am in their corner forever. So if somebody is putting them through this, while yes, that was their decision to make to have children with this person, they know that. They don't need to be reminded of that. They're upset because this person is being unreasonable. And that's a valid thing to be upset about. In that moment, this person probably should have just said, you know, I'm sorry, babe, I know this is rough. But one of the things that I try to do with my partner and friends like you and friends like my other friends, when they come to me venting, I always ask them, do you want me to just listen or do you want advice? Because sometimes people, all they want is for you to listen to them.
Mm-hmm.
They just want to vent. But sometimes people want advice. And yeah. I don't ever want to just start giving advice to somebody when they don't want it.
My partner, I've had to start just straight up telling him, like, I just need to vent.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm not looking for advice. Or, like, when I am looking for advice, I'm like, okay, I want your honest opinion. What do you think? Because
mm-hmm.
a lot of the times he would just automatically, like, give me advice. And I'd be like, mm-hmm. sometimes I just want
don't want
just,
that.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes I just want to vent to you and have you just be my support.
Mm-hmm.
Even if I am wrong, I just want you to just to be my support and let me get my emotions out and whatnot. Which is why I'm like, if I want advice, I will ask you for your advice, for your opinion. I'm like, but sometimes I just want to vent to you.
Right.
Because he's a fixer. He wants to fix things, which is
mm-hmm.
also kind of frustrating for whenever we get in an argument.
Mm-hmm.
And like, he's like somebody who needs to go and just like decompress.
Yeah.
And then if I start going, he's like, no, we need to talk about this. I'm like,
yeah,
I understand we need to talk about this. I just need to feel my feelings for a minute. Please just let me be upset for a minute.
Yeah.
I got to think through it. He's like, I want to fix it. I'm like, babe, just give me a second, please. Just 1 second.
I think in this situation, OP, what they did was a dick move. I don't think they did it to be mean.
No.
But I think that they were the asshole in this situation for not realizing like some tact, basically.
Yeah.
Your girlfriend is dealing with somebody who very clearly has made her miserable.
Mm.
You've watched it happen. And right when she's talking to you, it's very clear with what she said that what she's looking for is just comfort. She's not looking for you to give advice, and she sure as hell is not looking for you to tell her that, you know, it's her decision that caused this. She knows that.
Yeah.
We all know that our choices cause things. Actions have consequences. She didn't need you as the person who is her partner, who's supposed to comfort her and make sure she feels cared for,
to remind her
of that when the constant reminder of her choices is having to deal with this douchebag all the time. So I don't, like I said, I don't think it was, he necessarily meant to be an asshole.
Yeah, it wasn't
an asshole. But
I don't think he did it maliciously to be an asshole, like you said. I think it was just like you are going to, like, he was answering a question, but it wasn't what she was looking for.
No.
And I'm glad that he, like, ended up recognizing, like,
yeah.
Like,
I could have said that better.
Yeah. Or it's like, And I like the edit where, like, they went back and they actually talked about things.
Yeah.
Because it's like, yes, like, especially in the heat of the moment, you need to be able to, like, feel your emotions and feel safe to just vent.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, also it is a problem. So let's follow up to this and figure out how we can fix it. So that way you don't have to feel the need to vent to me mm-hmm. about this anymore.
Yep. My partner is really good about figuring out what I need sometimes without even having to ask. But he will also be like, hey, what do you need? Do you need comfort? Do you need mm-hmm. advice? What do you need? And that's been really useful because sometimes, with this guy's girlfriend, she wasn't looking for advice or a reminder. Or honestly, in that moment, she's not looking for you to be realistic. She's looking for you to comfort her. And sometimes people need. And my partner is really good at that. But he used to not be because he used to have the automatic, like, fix it thing where he'd start giving advice. And I'm like, I don't need advice. I just want to vent. So it's really important for people, A, to learn how to communicate what they need when they need it, but also for people who you're close with to figure out, like, in this moment, I don't think they need that. Because if they want advice, they will ask you for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And it's just important to learn some tact with that. But yeah, like I said, Reddit did vote him an asshole, but it wasn't out of malicious intent. It was just him being a little too blunt when it didn't need to happen.
Yeah.
So I have another one that I really want to touch on because this topic is interesting to me. So this is, am I the asshole for breaking the child-free, quote, rule? There is also a vote on this one, too. So, my fiance Max and I are getting married in November. I have a huge Colombian family. We are all close enough, and there are like a million kids. I love them all and cannot imagine a single family event without them. My fiance's family, on the other hand, is smaller, and the kids are only included in the big events, Christmas, Easter, and their own birthdays. They have a rule that every party is to be child-free. So sending out the invitations, we obviously did not write child-free on it because it's not. There will be approximately 13 kids there from the ages of 5 to 17. My future mother-in-law calls up to clarify. She asked if we had told my family no kids. We had to tell her that there were going to be kids there. She got very angry. Then, on Thursday, we went to pick up her dog, and she was there with Max's aunt and two cousins. We were basically cornered about the kids thing because, one, they gave us the following arguments. One, it had been a long-established tradition that kids were not to attend parties and events with alcohol. Two, his father is paying for half the wedding, about $4,000, and they don't want to see a kid ruining it and wasting his money. Three, they have been looking forward to no kids and letting loose. After we left, we both decided that arguments one and three are dumb. Two has us scratching our heads. Are we the assholes if we keep kids at the wedding? There is an update. So it says, mini update. Max's dad had apparently no idea of the ultimatum we were given on Thursday. He has told us to keep the money and hung up. Max got a text from his sister asking if he had done anything because their mom is cursing out the dad. Mini update two. Max's mom called to apologize.
Okay.
Do you want to hear the vote first, or do you want to give your opinion?
No, I'm pretty sure I know the vote first.
Yeah.
Okay. So, first off, it's your fucking wedding.
Exactly.
You do whatever the fuck you want for your wedding.
Yeah.
See, okay, and the thing is that there's such a struggle when it's the opposite thing, where it's like, well, why can't I bring my kids? It's like, it's my goddamn wedding. I don't want kids. But it's like, it is not your fiance's family's wedding. It is your wedding. It is for you. If you want kids to be there, that is up to you.
Mm-hmm.
And like the whole like, oh well, you know, dad is paying for it. It's like, okay, so that's when you have a conversation.
That's supposed to be a gift. That's not supposed to be conditional.
Yeah, and it's still like, it's one of those things where it's like, if you really feel the need to, you can have a conversation with the dad, like, this is what we want for our wedding.
Yep.
But even then, it is your wedding.
Yeah.
If he wanted to fund the wedding, he should have just funded the wedding and been like, here you go. And even then, the dad is like, I had no idea that there was a ultimatum. Keep the money.
Yeah.
And then the fucking, did you do something because mom's cussing out dad? Mom calls up later. Sorry. I understand mom's cussing out dad because dad was like, it's their fucking wedding. They get to do whatever the fuck they want with the money.
Yeah. No, and that is something I feel so strongly about with that, especially because the opposite side of that is so heavily talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Child-free weddings are honestly pretty nice. I've been to a few of them, and they're great because you don't have the worry of kids running around. You can let loose as an adult, but it's not my wedding. I've been to weddings with kids.
Mm-hmm.
That's what people get to do.
Okay, and one of the things, honestly, I will say I have not been to many weddings. I've only been to a few.
Huh.
But every wedding that I've been to has, well, except the last one, has had kids. No, the last one had kids too.
Hmm.
And they're like, well, we don't want kids to ruin the wedding. It's like, most of the time the kids aren't ruining the wedding.
Yeah.
Most of the time the kids are just on the dance floor just dancing their little hearts out.
Yeah.
And it's like, if the kids ruin the wedding, then why aren't the parents taking care of their children?
And that's something I've seen. I've seen clips where kids have caused major problems at weddings. But again, it's on the parent. Like, it's on the parent. But also, I'm going to throw this out there because this is something that I've seen for, like, the argument of a child-free wedding and people being mad they can't bring their kids. You know how many adults I know, if they're invited to an event that kids can't be at, they're, like, fucking thrilled?
Yeah, they're like,
out of their child.
It's like, I don't, it's one of those things where it's like, I have to find childcare for my kid, but I get to go and be myself and not have to worry about constantly having an eye on my kid. So, like,
yep.
I totally get it. Like, whenever I get married, I don't know if I'm going to have a child-free wedding or not. Because, like,
you have younger siblings.
Like, I do. Well, I have younger siblings. Well, they're going to be there.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know if I'm going to want, like, any relatives that have kids to bring our kids or not. Because I don't know.
Right.
I should not have to worry about watching children at my own wedding.
Right, exactly.
Because, like, by the time my youngest brother is old enough, like, he, like, would it be cool for him to have some other kids there? Yeah, but at the same time, it's like, sometimes he just entertains himself and doesn't actually play with other kids. Like,
yeah,
I those things. Like, my brothers will be there because they're family.
Right.
Like, I like if I have any friends that have kids, like, I don't know if I'm gonna want it to be child free. I'm not like, and even then, like, I'm not gonna, except for my siblings, I'm not gonna have any kids at my actual like ceremony.
Yeah, the ceremony is a big part to me. But here's the thing that really makes it unreasonable for me. OP is talking about inviting children who are her family.
Yeah.
Who she's close to, who she can't imagine family events with. This is not, oh, I'm letting my friends just bring all their kids. This is family.
Mm-hmm.
Or her in-laws, especially her mother and her, like, sister and stuff, whatever. The mother-in-law being like, you shouldn't invite your own family to your wedding because we have this family rule. There are two families involved in this, not one.
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly, like, I understand people wanting child-free weddings. I really do. But I really think that when you have these where kids are only involved in certain XYZ holidays and every other time they're not, I think it's kind of sad, to be honest. People can live their own lives, whatever, but like, imagine, like
really, it creates that disconnect.
Yeah.
Between family and kids, because kids, like, kids need a village.
Yeah.
They need a family. And I'm not saying that you have to invite your kid, invite kids, but at the same time, it's like, kids can get pretty lonely. And if, like, if my parents were going out all the time and I was just stuck at home with a babysitter all the time, I'd get really fucking annoyed and, like, upset.
Yep.
I'd get lonely. It's like, why do you guys get to go out all the time, but I have to stay home with a babysitter all the time?
Yeah. No, and it's to me, just the fact that, like, this is her family and she wants them there. Like, this is her wedding. That's her family. She wants them there. That should be the literal end of that argument. There should be no, well, we want this. It's not your wedding.
I don't give a shit what you want. It's my fucking wedding.
It's literally not about what you want. It's not your wedding. And I think, so as you can probably tell, Reddit voted this person is not the asshole. And I think that's correct. Because it, at the end of the day, I don't even give a damn who's paying for it. If I have somebody who offers to pay something like that and they hold it over my head, you can keep your fucking money, bro. I don't want it. You gifting me money for something like this and offering to pay for it should be done out of the kindness of your heart, not because you want to hold it over my fucking head. And props to, like, OP's, like, future father-in-law for standing his fucking ground and being like, no, y'all keep the money. That's ridiculous. Because I've seen so many where father-in-law sides with mother-in-law because it's mother-in-law, and it gets even worse, you know? So I have to give props to those, the people who handle stuff like this, because at the end of the day, you could also, this is me being petty, but I want to turn around and be like, if you have such a problem with kids being at my wedding, you don't have to come.
Yep.
Like,
yeah, exactly.
You don't have to come.
Mm-hmm.
And is that mean to say because those are her future in-laws? Maybe. But I don't really care.
No.
I'm biased, though.
No. Like I said, like, I don't give two shits about my family's opinion.
Yeah.
If they don't want to come, they don't. I'll use my uncle for an example. So, when I was a teenager and my dad was still with my ex-stepmom, they had my birthday party and they had my graduation party at their house. My uncle came both times and was like, you're lucky I'm here. I could be at work. And I'm like, so then leave.
Then leave.
I straight up told him, I was like, I didn't ask you to be here. You can
go. Yeah.
If you don't want to be here, you can leave. He's like, oh, no, like, fine. I'm like, stop telling me that I'm lucky that you're here.
Yeah.
Like, it's one of those things where it's like, you are not contributing anything more just by being here. Like,
yeah,
sorry, not sorry, you are not that big of a deal to me,
right,
as opposed to my dad.
But also, like, that's family. They shouldn't be treating you like they're doing you a favor by showing up for you.
Yeah, I had to request time off work to be here, so then go back to work.
Yeah, if it's such a big deal, then
you know, I didn't ask for you to be here, you can leave.
Yeah,
you were invited because you're my dad's uncle and I didn't even invite you. Like, I didn't do any of the invites, it was my parents.
Yeah,
so like, I don't care if you leave, you can fucking leave if you don't want to be here.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so tired of, you're lucky I'm doing this for you. I didn't fucking ask you.
I had that happen to us with a family member on my husband's side of the family gifting us money when we bought our first house. And when I called to thank them, the way they treated me was so ridiculous, dude. So my parents were visiting from another state.
Mm-hmm.
When we got the money in the mail, they mailed us a check. And I told my husband, hey, mom and dad are here. I'll call this person as soon as mom and dad are gone. Because I wanted to give this person, like, as much time as they wanted, my undivided attention, to talk about it, because it was a big deal and it was a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And well, a lot of money in my terms and wouldn't back then too, but maybe not to some people. But I finally called them, and the first word out of their mouth, because it had been over a week since I'd gotten it, was, "I figured this would warrant a phone call." I was like, are you fucking joking me? Like, those two people who gifted us that money held it over our heads until we finally cut them off. And I was like, you know what? That was supposed to be a gift. I didn't ask you for this. Was it a gracious gift that we appreciated and put to good use after buying our very first home? Yes.
But I don't owe you anything because you decided to give this to me.
Exactly.
That's one of those things where, like, if I give somebody a gift, it's like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't give you anything. It's like, I just gave this to you.
Yeah, they're not pretending
anything.
Yeah.
It's like, if you ask to borrow, like, $50,
mm-hmm.
it's like, okay, I might expect you to pay that back eventually. Like, with my dad, had a nasty habit of asking.
At this point, because of the way they're treating us. So, moral of the story, you guys, don't be an asshole.
Yeah.
Like, just don't be, all these stories, don't be an asshole.
Not that hard.
I'm still mad at Toby. Toby, you should consider yourself so fucking lucky, bro.
Yeah.
That you ruined my coming out because you didn't celebrate the right way that I wanted. Bruh.
That cannot be a foundation tool.
No.
That cannot be. What?
What is it? Oh, I know what video you're talking about. I know what video you're talking about. I know it. I know exactly.
It'll be a plug.
I know it's very floppy. I think it's some kind of toy.
That has, like, it's not. I can't. Yeah, no, that's not.
Mm.
Yeah.
All right, fuckers. We are on to record our next bookish episode right after we finish recording this one. We are going to go and do a deep dive of a series that both Shay and I have finished in its entirety. Because, like we said, the last bookish notes that we had were for a reading wrap-up of January. And it's March. So we're going to talk about that, especially because, like, I've been in such a reading slump lately, like, talking about books that I've read lately. So we're going to talk about that series, and we're going to have such a good time talking about this because it's by one of our favorite authors. So come and join us for that next. But we hope you enjoyed this Am I the Asshole episode. And if you guys liked it, please let us know, because then we can keep making these, because nobody ever runs out of asshole stories. You can always find them somewhere. So yep. Until then, please keep yourself hydrated, you anxious little cucumbers. We love you so much.
Oops.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you for listening to this episode of Slap Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a like, rating, review, and yeah. See you for the next one.